current people you have in your present will determine your future. The relationships, the people, the current that you have in your current life, the present, will determine your future. If you want a different future, change those relationships. I don't know who you are, but that's for somebody here. Your future is determined by who currently you associate with. You will never go beyond your association. I don't know who that's for, but that's been in me all morning long. So whoever that's for, you need to take an action on that. You need to ask God to help you reveal that to your heart. Because you can't change without other people. You change by association. Read the Bible. You're only as good as the people around you. And let me say this. You may be afraid to venture out beyond those relationships because of maybe the challenge or the insecurity you feel. Have the heart to go past it. Have the heart to venture past it. Why? Because God's got something better. But you know as well as I do, you get there by the relationships of others, by the favor of others, by the impartation of others. So if that's you, listen to me. Change those associations. Don't live in mediocrity. Go to the next level. That's what God's impressing upon your heart to do. But you've got to do it by the revealing of others, by the word of others in your life. And it's very important that you listen to me today. Because you're at a center point in your life, and God's been dealing with you about changing your life and changing those relationships. And you know what I'm saying is true, but I'm trying to give you a little wisdom and information to help you get past that you can't go anywhere without people that are better than you surrounding you. You got to have mentors in your life. You got to have people that have done it. You got to have people that can challenge you with truth and relationships. And I don't know who that's for here, but I'm telling you, you need to listen to me. Very important. I purposefully surround myself with people better than me. Because I know what I know, and it ain't much. It is not much. And you have to veil yourself. You know? You have to open your life and your heart, not just to God, but to others. And you have to be willing to deal with the pain. Because you go nowhere without pain. I'm not talking about sickness and disease. No, you know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, if you have to change, it's painful. If you have to move out of your comfort zone, it'll be painful. But sometimes your insecurities will arise. Your fears will arise. And you have to push past them. And that may be you too. Because I'll just go ahead and do it. When I woke up this morning, you were inside of me. And I mean, about 10 after 5, I woke up. I didn't manage to go back to sleep, but I mean, as soon as I woke enough to get conscious, you were there. And I kept hearing these words, there's a step beyond. There's a step beyond. There's a step beyond. And you're to carry, the days are coming. And you listen to me. The days are coming, and when you, right now you're serving and you're learning, there's an impartation going on in your life, but that always won't happen. And you're going to carry the anointing, and you're going to carry the anointing of God and the Word of God to your generation. It may be Mexico, it may be the world. But God's doing some things in you right now, and you're just serving to learn, and there's just that just has to go with it. But there'll be a day come that there's another horizon. You'll see beyond it. And you'll carry the Word of God, you'll carry the anointing of God. And I'll be basically what she does when she goes, you'll do. And you'll minister. And you'll teach God's word, and you'll exhort with God's word. And then you'll lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Miracles will happen. But the Lord wants you to know that there is another horizon. There's another step beyond. And right now you're just proving to be faithful, and there's a season of that yet to come. But when that day is over, it'll be a dawning. There will be a dawning that'll happen in your life one day. And you'll know it from the inside, and the people you work with and the people around you will know it. But what will happen is you'll graft yourself into it. And it'll come step by step, day by day. And what happens, though, is the revealings of God begin to take place. And he begins to illuminate a little bit here, a little bit there. And what he does, he sees how faithful you are with that illumination and what you'll do with it. like the cow chewing the cud. Will you get all there is out of it? Can God's presence, can God's word mesmerize you? Can it set you back and make you think and even create the willingness for you to set time aside? My greatest understandings come when I just sit like yesterday. No TV, no nothing. No cell phone, no laptop, no email. Nothing. And you just set it aside and says, God, I seek you. I pursue you. Because proof of humility is pursuit. And I got to know you. I got to know your ways. I ain't asking you for nothing. If you want to reveal something, fine. But the bottom line is I pursue you today. This day is you and me. And I got to have you. And it'll do that to you. But the Lord wants you to know there will be another day that will dawn. And you'll carry the word of God, and you'll carry the anointing of God, and you'll minister your generation. You understand me? Okay. Father, I pray right now. We agree right now for the work of God. Reveal in her, Lord. Reveal in her. Let those lights and those illuminations start happening. Yeah, right there it is. Kota rabash to de brak no na bran na bran na brech. Thank you, Jesus. Deep calleth unto deep. Come here, stand up a second. Just give your stuff to her. Come here. Let's just do it now. And we're going. Come here. Can you help me? Can you just put your hand right there? Because I just want you to go. Father, we pray right now and just let this relation of impart dead cut. And I call you free from words of the past. I declare you free from thoughts that you've thought. No. You see me. See yourself as I see you. And quit beating yourself up. That I'm not this and I'm not that. And No. You let me do it. You let me qualify you. Quit beating yourself up. Quit beating yourself up with your words and your thoughts, says the Lord. Quit beating yourself up. Yeah. There it goes right there. Free. Disappointment, go now. Now, come out now with all the pain. All it go right now. Let her be free to step into what she's got to do, God. With encouragement and boldness and strength. And God, whatever, and whatever, oh, we thank you for that, sir. Lenore, you got something to say?
And to go on. God has a great destiny for you. And while you thought that this was it, this is merely a stepping stone. And you have been faithful to serve where you have been planted, but continue to keep your eyes upon Jesus because there's more. You thought that you would never be where you are now, and you think that you're never going to be what you're doing now, but there is much, much more beyond. So follow him. Obey him. Don't get so busy with the works of the ministry that you can't spend time with him, because he is going to show you great, great things in the days ahead. And then when he shows, and you are to obey. You are to simply obey. You are to listen and obey. And the reward will be great. The reward will be great.
I want to say this. Some of you men that maybe ever minister out, if you ever minister to a young lady or any female, you need to have somebody cover you in that. Are you with me in this? You need to bring up somebody that's a covering there, one of the ladies. You know what I mean? That's a spiritual authority in that. Are you with me in that, men? Always cover yourself in every situation. Don't let nothing avail itself in any situation. Amen. Do you understand that? Amen. I love it. God's done some good things. Where are we as the church? Let me tell you what happened. When I was at ORU, God began to deal with my heart about the world. I had different plans. I wanted to do something else, but got to sleep sometime. And I had a Pentecostal grandmother that was on her face crying out, "Get him, God!" That's what she'd holler. "Get him, God!" Well, I'd go to sleep and I'd have dreams. And they drove me nuts. Finally got where I couldn't sleep. I was scared to sleep. And I tell her, "Leave me alone." Well, she's Cherokee Indian, you know. She grew up hard and tough, you know what I mean, rough. When I was about 10 years old, I told her to shut her mouth in the hallway at the house, and she picked me up off the floor, bounced me off the floor about 5 or 6 times. Bam, bam, bam. She was tough. Are you with me? So when she'd get in prayer, she'd lock on. And she prayed me into the kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about born again. I'm talking about getting into God's will. I was smart enough to stay around to have fire insurance. You know what I'm saying? Enough just to stay there? You know what I mean? You got that. But honestly, God put that. But one of the things he did is he put a prophetic gift in my life. I've never prayed for it, never asked for it. And I want to tell you this right now. It don't work when you want it to. It works when that mantle's there. But God sends me places sometimes and he says, hey, I want you to go. I don't think I've ever taken 10 meetings in all my years of ministry where people called me and said, would you come do this? Unless it's been mission. Because I tell people, don't call me, I call you. And that's a relationship I have with a bunch of churches. And the reason is I need to be at the right place at the right time for God to say what he wants to say. Are you with me in this? And so therefore, that's why I'm here today. Because the Lord had put you on my heart that there's change. And he said, I want you to share with what's going on. How many knows that you don't know where you're going until you know where you currently are? And during my flying pilot, when I was learning to be a pilot, that's one of the things the guy took me. He'd blindfold me. He'd just fly the airplane out somewhere and turn right, turn left. And he said, now, where are you? There's no radios, no nothing. And I had to find out where I was. And he'd say, vector to a point. Find your river. Find something. Press to find where you are. You can't be lethargic about this. You got to find now. And if I took a minute over, 30 seconds over, he'd get right in my head. He said, where are you? And the reason he's saying that, because he didn't want me dying in a situation in the future. He said, Jerry, flying must be exact and right. And you must use the skills that you are taught to do so. What's the same way with God? What are you going to do? Because God is very accurate and very aware of where he's going with his church. And the key thing is we must obey and line up with that and go with him. Because we're talking about life and death. We're talking about people's lives. Am I just talking today? Or are you with me? It's very serious where you're going. And he began to talk to me, and he began to say, there's a course change. There's a course change. A new model coming on. Different horizon. Getting ready to be birthed. Be gone. Are you with me in this? And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about where you are and what has to happen. First of all, let me say it like this. Jesus is just making a change in his church. He's got a different, and the way you can see that is the Bible talks about when Jesus died, right, and rose again, the Bible says, Paul said, we are in Christ. Well, if you're in Christ, really your life has really no beginning, and it really has no end because you're in Christ. Are you with me? If you look at it that way, if you're talking about kingdom. And so what happens is during your part of that season, it's the seasons that transpire where you're with God. In other words, when you're born again, you're grafted in, you're in Christ because he's your leader, he's your head. So realistically, you have no past and you have no future because you're just there with him, because you're with him. Are you with me? And the Bible says he has no beginning and he has no end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So realistically, it takes all the pressure off you when you get that revelation. You know what? God, I'm just here. Life, you said it's a vapor compared to eternity. Our life is a vapor. It's like that. And I'm telling you right now, if you're in Christ, how many are in Christ today? How many consider yourself to be in Christ? Well, then what happens is all we're doing is just going with him. And one of the things he did years ago is that he began to make an emphasis in the church on teaching and training. He began to make an emphasis on the ministry gifts. He began to bring in revelation knowledge and understanding about a covenant relationship that we have with him. No longer was we to be mystique and lack of understanding and declare and lower our voices too often and say we don't know what God would do. He wanted a generation of folks that would yell out and stand, but I know what he'd do because I got his word on it. Are you with me in this? And that understanding can come in my heart and he will reveal the wise. He will reveal the understanding because it says the secret things belong to God. But one thing about it, he's willing to reveal them to us. So that covenant relationship was established because man had put God so far out, so far away, God couldn't do anything to reach why he'd sent Jesus in the first place. It pretty well got determined in certain groups that, you know, God would only save certain ones. They're called Calvinists. And they built the whole doctrine around it. So they just stopped reaching out, and then just saying, well, God's sovereignty, he wants to reach, he'll reach. And we know that's not right. Because all men be saved. Am I just talking? So God got rid of the mystique. Lee said one time, she said, honey, you know all this, you know what faith really does? And I said, what? She said, it just takes the mystique out of God. Lee always has these one simple liners, but I'm telling you, they're truthful. And that's really what happened. But now what's happening is that God, for years and years, there's been a whole generation of you taught, you instructed, you built up and ready, getting prepared to do Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 for the work of the ministry. But now Jesus is saying, I'm getting ready to implement that. I want to make some changes. So we're getting ready to change models. Everybody know what I'm talking about? We're getting ready to change procedures. We're getting ready to change the way we do ministry. Because many of you got it all in you so strong, you by yourself can win this city. But thank God he's got others. Some of you are called to be pastors. Some of you are called to be fivefold ministry gifts. You know, when we talked last night, you know, you got marketplace all over you. And the marketplace arena is getting ready to be the focus of this next move of God. And it's in you to touch that arena. Because you know as well as I do, the anointing for business is opposite than it is in the anointing for ministry. The same principles still apply, but it's a different methodology, different thinking. But you've got it on you to train and raise up a generation. And you need, and I, you know what I saw you doing last night? I saw you helping others discover their dream. You know how to father. And three girls taught you that. Am I right? Boys, you just slap them around, make them tough. My papa would say, jerk the snot out of you, boy. That's what I'm going to just jerk the snot out of. The girls, I got one. And she's a mystery, mystique, a mystery in her own, in all herself. Still quite not figured her out yet. I probably never will. But you know what? When I'm with her, Lee tells me, she said, your whole demeanor changes. Your whole, you, everything about you changes in a moment. Why? Because that's my baby. Well, that kind of heart's what it takes sometimes, but to help somebody discover their dream. Because you got to be gentle, and you have to nurture them into it. You have to lead them into it. You have to help them kind of discover some stuff. It's like that old FedEx commercial guy. I know that's an insult to you, but be patient with me. But that old guy sitting there, and the old boss is sitting there, what can we do to save money? And the little guy sitting there, you know, to the second to the right, saying, well, why don't we call FedEx and do this, yada, yada, yada? And nothing is said, and 20 seconds later, the CEO goes, yeah, let's call FedEx and do this, yada, yada. Repeat the same thing you said. And they're all going, ooh, way to go, boss, way to go, boss. Good, 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 good. And the guy's going to say, well, I just said that. The guy looks over and goes, in other words, you said it, but you didn't really say it. I see that. I see you helping others discover what they are. And even though you don't have to take credit, it still gets done. A lot of times that's what it is. But I just want to tell you that. See, there's changes all over this church God's getting to. There's promotion. But when we get, to get that promotion, we gotta follow God. Are you with me in this? So what do we do? How do we get out of the box? Acts chapter 10. Because in December of 2005, I make it a point. We just trust God. I mean, I stay home after Thanksgiving until about the first week of January. And just, we don't do any ministry activity. I just hang around with Lee and we shop and I follow whatever she wants to do. You know, how many knows what I'm talking about? Guys, I navigate all over the world all the time. And when I get in the car with her, I don't know right from left. And she said, honey, we're going to do this and honey, we're going to do that. Amen? But during that time, I was home in December. The Lord said, to visit me three times in the night, and he began to talk to me about the changes. And he said, Gary, I got to put the final touches on this paradigm change you need in your life. You got to get out of the box. How many of you have been frustrated? Have you ever been frustrated? Anyway, I vent when I'm frustrated sometimes. And I've gotten this lady goes like this, tilts her head and goes, how many ever been a bad example? One time we were living in Tijuana and Ryan was just a little guy. He's almost 18 now. Man, we were sitting here, he's about 7, I guess. And anyway, we're driving and somebody wheeled out in front of me. And just, you know, I had to go around and whatever, hit the brakes. And Ryan hollered, "You dummy!" And man, I went, I said, "Where'd that come from?" And Lee looks just sitting right there. And she looked and she said, "You." I said, "I don't do that." And she said, "You know, the Bible says liars will have their part in the lake of fire." And I tell you, a light went on in my heart that day. My children will mimic what I do and say. Amen? So therefore, I can tell you some more about that, but I won't. I love it. Acts chapter 10. I've got to get on this. This is good. I love to laugh. I love to laugh. You know, how many know you can laugh in God? Well, I said to God, "You show me what it means to get out of the box." I mouthed off at him. He said, "Okay, go to Acts chapter 10. I'll never forget it." And I'm sitting in my, it's about one of those 2:30 in the morning experiences, you know, so you know there's not a lot going on. Your breath stinks, your hair sticking up. But God's speaking. Aren't you glad God can talk to you when you got bad breath? You got, I mean, folks, you've got to make this relational. Verse 1. Now living at Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius, a centurion captain of what was known as the Italian regiment, and a devout man who venerated God and treated him with reverential obedience, as did all his household. And he gave much alms to the people and prayed continually to God. And about the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God entering and saying to him, "Cornelius." And he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel said to him, "Your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. And now send men to Joppa and have them call for and invite here a certain Simon whose surname is Peter. And he is lodging with Simon of Tanner, whose house is by the seaside." And when the angel who had spoken to him had left, Cornelius called two of his servants and a God-fearing soldier from among his own personal attendants. And having rehearsed everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were still on their way, were approaching the town, Peter went up to the roof of the house to pray about the sixth hour noon. And he became very hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, a trance came over him. And he saw the sky open and something like a great sheet lowered by the four corners, descending to the earth. And he saw the sky open and something like a great sheet. Verse 12. And it contained all kinds of quadrupeds and wild beasts and creeping things of the earth and the birds of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, "Rise up, Peter, kill and eat." And notice, but Peter said, "No, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unhallowed or ceremonially unclean." And the voice came to him a second time and said this, "Listen, what God has cleansed and pronounced clean, do not you defile and profane by regarding or calling common or unhallowed or unclean." This occurred three times, and immediately the sheet was taken up to heaven. Now, here we go. We're talking about getting out of the box experience, going from one model, old model, to a new model. Here we got Peter. We got Cornelius. Number one, for you to be able to step into what this new model and get an understanding of what God wants you to do, you got to understand the kingdom of God is going on around you all the time. God is at work in a man named Cornelius' life that Peter's getting ready to meet. At this moment, Peter didn't know Cornelius from Adam. But the thing you've got to realize is that the supernatural is going on around you if you know it or you don't know it. The kingdom of God is working all the time. And God brings relationships together. God brings people together. He makes events happen that you don't know about. Because it's the kingdom. So you got to realize there's people that God will send you to minister to. You don't know who they are right now. That's just the kingdom. The kingdom of God is more real. Are you with me? The kingdom of God is more real than this earth, because this earth came from that kingdom. And you got to see that. You are meant to minister to some people nobody else can minister to. And I can tell you that scenario so many times. We've seen it. Years ago I was in an AM/PM in San Diego, which is like a 7-Eleven. And I was in there and we had a group running. It was late afternoon. We had a great staff of people and they're running the team. And so I'm heading to the house. So I walk in there and I had filled up with gas. I'm sitting there standing there and there's about 20 people. And nothing going on spiritual. All of a sudden, I walk up and I get to the counter, and the lady behind the counter had sunglasses on. And my first thought was, man, your husband must have beat the dog out of you. You know what I mean? Because you're thinking some kind of domestic disturbance situation. Because you normally don't wear sunglasses in public like that. And I just felt this unction to say, what happened to you? So I looked at her and I said, what's wrong? I didn't know her, but I said, what's wrong? And she took her sunglasses off and she said, there's an eye disease. She had an eye disease. And I went, oh. I said, you been to the doctor? And she goes, yeah, but they're sending me to a specialist. She's been to two specialists and they're sending me to the specialist. She said, they don't know what it is. And about that time, I heard the word of the Lord say, pray for her. There's 15 or 20 people waiting to go home. In line. You know what I'm talking about? And I mean, it was so quick. It was instant. And God was teaching me about this kingdom. He said, I want to be able to use you. For man, I heard it again. It was just like that. So I said to her, I said, can I pray for you? Now you think she would say, oh yes, I want God to touch me. Hallelujah. She said, what? And I said, you want me to pray for you? She goes, what? And then I realized she's probably Catholic. And I said, do you want me to talk to God for you? She goes, oh, yeah. So I just grabbed her hand. I said, Jesus, heal her. Thank you. Walked right out the door. And all the people are going. But you can't worry about the fear of men. Next morning, 5:15. I got a group. I got to get over. How many knows coffee machine? Thank God for the coffee machine, right? Starbucks went around. By the way, y'all need to pray a Starbucks into the city. I know it. Target, but that ain't good. That ain't no, come on. I prayed one into Harlingen, bless God. It's sitting right on the corner, and it's a Starbucks. But I hit that machine about 5:15, and she's there. And she comes over, and she goes, good morning. Well, I mean, in the morning, I like my space, and I like my time. Lee knows that. My kids know that. You know what I mean? And my thought was, get away from me. Don't look at me so spiritual. You have your moments. Don't look at me so holy. Sitting out there going. But you know what happened? She walks up to me. And I'm hitting that machine. And my mind's going. Folks know what we got to do. She walks right up to me and she goes, look. And I'm a little slow. And I look, next to me, I had a big old talk of, you know. That machine's going, I went, nah. And then it hit me. I went, Jesus, forgive me. Oh, God, you know, because here I'm supposed to be faith man and I doubt it. Oh, nah. I doubt my own prayer. You know God laughs. He has to. To get over some things we do, he has to laugh because the alternative is not good. You know what I did? And God completely healed her. I can tell you stories. Let me give you another one. Lee and I have been up to Big Bear, which is in the mountains. Okay, you understand. It's beautiful. Well, anyway, we go play in the snow with the kids. So Lee and I took the three kids, and they're all little guys in, and, And you know what I mean? You got to get their cold and they're wet and everything. So there's nothing really spiritual going on. Are you with me? And we've been up all day, and it's about 8:30. We just come out of the mountains, and Lee said, "Honey, let's stop and get the kids a hamburger or something real quick, and let's go home and go to bed. I am tired." I mean, so there's nothing really spiritual. So we stopped, got a hamburger. We walk in the restaurant. And I take that back. It may have been about 5:30 or 6. And as I walked in, I said, "What do you want me to do?" And she said, "Just take care of the kids, sit them down, get Lori in the high chair, get them ready, and I'll go just order." So she's walking over there, and all of a sudden, an African-American young man walked in the corner door with, like, a delivery guy. And when I saw him, boom, pow, the morning came on. He said, "That young man right over there, his father's a preacher, his grandfather's a preacher, and he's running from me. And I want you to go tell him that I've called him to serve his father, and I've called him to be in the ministry." And I mean, it just went off like that. I call them those Forrest Gump moments. Because Lee said, "Honey, you get them." I know, because, she said, "I sleep with you, I live with you." And she said, "I know when it's on you." And I know when, because she said, "You get this dumb look on your face." Don't look at me, so you get them too. And guess what happened? Lord said, "Go talk to me." I said, "Baby, I got to take care of something." Well, she knows. She's been around long enough. So she sat there with the kids, and I walked over. I said, "Hey, you." Well, I scared him then. He just stopped holding the stuff, looking at me. He's about 18, 20, 20, something like that. I said, "Hey, you, God's got a message for you." Oh, man. I know I scared him. Lee said, "Honey, I was loud, too." She said, "You scared him so bad, I thought he was going to wet his britches, baby." Because she's watching, because she likes to see what God's going to say and do. She'd like to see, because like she said, "I'm out of the way. I've been with you too long." She said, "I'm just going to slide out of the way." I'm making a mistake. David Briggs prophesied to her about that one time. But anyway, I told him, I said, "Young man, your grandfather's a preacher, your daddy's a..." Well, he's got to know this is God. And I took me 2 or 3 minutes to deliver whatever. I don't remember. That's all I remember saying to him. But I scared him so bad. And the Spirit of God scared him. And I said, "I'm going to tell you something. You better repent. And you better go back to your mother and your father. And you better repent for the words you said. And you need change. And you need to get back where you need to be. Because God's hand is on your life. And you will pastor just like your father did and your grandfather." And I can tell you story after story like this. It gets to be fun. Yeah, you like scaring people. No, a lot of times it's just ministering to people. I'll give you another. I was in Eufaula, Alabama. Eufaula? Yes, Eufaula, Alabama. About a month ago. I came out. I don't know where I'd been anyway. I'd done something. And I was driving back to the hotel room. I went to work out. That's right. I went to work out the gym. I'm driving back. Little old town. Community center. It's about as redneck as you can get. And I pulled up the gas station. I thought, "I better go ahead and fill up because I got to leave it." You process. So I pulled up there. I was getting gas, and there's an African-American guy right over. He's probably 50. And he's standing there. And just pumping gas. And you could tell he's some kind of a laborer. Clothes he's wearing. He's wearing some kind of, got his name right there and all that. And nothing going on. And I heard the Lord say, "Pay for his gas." Well, the way he's talking, you can tell there's... he's not walking currently with God. You know what I'm trying to say? And folks, I'm telling you, I thought, "Well, God, are you sure?" Well, back when I thought I was going to go talk to him, a buddy of his came up. "Hey, man, how you doing?" And they do this, and they do that, starting to talk. "Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, you like fishing?" I went there, and just started talking about it. The old Ralph died. Did you hear Ralph died? And they're just starting that kind of... I thought, well, maybe that wasn't God. I get in my, and I pull away. And it hit me again so hard, I just stopped the car. And God said to me, it was strong. He said, "I said for you to go pay for his gas and tell him I told you to pay for it." But God, okay. So I get out, I park the car. It was hot, man, hot. Alabama hot, nasty hot. So I leave the car running. and go out there and just wait. And he's jabbering 90 miles. And so the guy, his buddy, just follows him up to the door. And they're just talking like life's got forever to go on. And I'm thinking, God, if you want me to deliver this message, you need to get him to be quiet. Finally, he stops outside the door. And his friend's standing there. And I thought, well, whatever. So I just walk right up to the guy. I said, sir? He goes, yes. I said, God told me to pay for your gas. Forrest Gump moment. He looked at me and his friend just looked. They went. They just stared at me. He goes, no, that ain't real. That ain't right. He did. He said that. And I said, sir, yes, he did. God told me to tell you he wants to pay for your gas. And he told me to do it. He said, then he says, are you sure? I said, sir, when God tells me to do something, I'll do it. So I said, whatever the gas was, I went in there and I said to the clerk, I said, I'm going to pay for your gas. He goes, really? And I didn't hear to tell him God loves him or anything. But he said, I said, the fourth time, God really wants me to pay for your gas, and I'll pay for it. Well, man, by that time, he just went, thank you. Nothing spiritual? Now, you need to tell God thank you. No? His friend's standing there like, he's just staring right. He did not break a stare. Just. And I'm thinking, my mind's thinking, what? They do not think. They probably think I am a nut. But I don't care. I walk in, pay for the guy's gas, walk back out, didn't say a word, and got in my car and went on. And I was in the car, and I thought, God. I mean, I said, Lord. Out loud, I said, God. Why did you have me do that? And the Lord said to me, he said, very soon in that man's life, there is a crisis coming. And he said, I'm going to take him back to the moment that you said that for to him. And he said, I'm going to build off that moment, that seed you just planted. I'm going to build so I can get in his heart and his life. Wow. You will have to do things sometimes to incorporate this kingdom. Another one, Indiana, preaching. There's a lady sitting back on the left, and the Lord says, she thinks she's saved, but she's not. She's confused. And he said, she's going to die soon, and she will go to hell. I thought, well, I mean, I'm not in the middle of the sermon. And I thought, I ain't touching that one. Because she's in deception. And you know, it's the hardest thing to deal with somebody in deception without the anointing. And so I say, well, I was under the anointing, but I thought, God, I don't know, man. Ooh. I mean, I said that in my mind. I went on trying to forget about it. I heard it again. Gary, that woman thinks she's saved, but she's not. I heard it three times. The third time, it was so strange, like just my grandmother throwing me up against the wall. You know, you've got to talk to her. You've got to talk to her now. Now, some of you, I'm telling you this, because you're thinking, well, God uses him that way. No. In this new season, God's going to use you like this. Do you believe? Do y'all believe God can use you like this? Maybe some of you, he already does. Raise your hand if you did believe that. So I just stopped. And I thought, well, you know, okay. I walked right back to her and I said, ma'am, I said, God told me that you think you're saved, but you're not. Oh, because that's all I heard to tell her. And you don't try to mince words or make it soft. You know what I mean? When God gives you something soft, you just say it because that's where the Spirit's going to go in. She thought I'd committed an impardonable sin. She began to get real loud. What do you mean you don't think I'm saved? And boy, it began. And you know, Brother Jesse says, oh, blah, 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 starts. And the pastor told me later, he said, man, Gary, you were on your own from that moment. And then when she said that, that anointing came on me. And then my brother Hagin said, you don't care. You know. And see, then God gave me the courage and the heart to, you know. But she said it loud, whole church. I mean, everybody's staring and said, what are you going to do? And it came. Within about 3 to 5 minutes, I don't remember what I said, but whatever I said, the words of God, the wisdom of God went around that. And in the moment, I said, you don't really know God. She came down front. She prayed the sinner's prayer. Holy Ghost touched her in a major way. Two children, that's her son and her daughter-in-law sitting beside her, I know this, come down with her. Guess what happened? They were already saved, but God touched, you know what I mean, drew them in. You know what I mean, sucked them in to get full commitment of their life. They were saved, you know, they were on the fringes. But she got born again. And I think she got spirit-filled later or something. But anyway, well, guess what? Three and a half weeks later, I'm somewhere, I get a call on my cell phone, and it's Dale Culver. He's the pastor, and he says, Gary, guess what happened? I got a call today. I went, what? He said, you remember that lady you called out about 3 or 4 weeks ago? And I said, oh, yeah, I remember. He said, she just died. Oh. And it hit me. Fear of God hit me. I repented for days. There was a fear that came on me so deep, and I said, Jesus, forgive me. I didn't mean, and I would hear, but you obey me. But it hit me so hard that I thought about her being eternally lost. It scared me. And it hit me so deep in my heart. My God, like a hammer in the kneecap. You know it. Bam. And it just struck my soul. And I said, Jesus, forgive me, man. Forgive me. And it just, and you say, well, I don't know why I did that. I guess he said, Gary, there's nothing to forgive you of. You did what I told you to do. But the fear of it hit me. And it went so deep in me for days and days. I just walked around and said, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for any hesitation I had, Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, man, it hit me. And I'm telling you, the kingdom is alive. Number two, for this change to happen in you, it must be supernatural. In other words, the Spirit of God's got to tell you your part. Are you with me in this? In this new, there's a new change coming to this church, a different emphasis. And I'll just let Pastor and the people around her reveal that over time as God leads her. But I'm telling you right now, I mean, you're still going to have church and do things, but I'm telling you, this next move is about harvest. Are you with me in this? But Peter had a supernatural experience that Jesus said, Peter, now notice what he said in this. Peter said, Lord, I can't eat that. It's not right. I've never eaten something that's ceremonially unclean. You got to remember, Peter is a legalistic practicing Jew. So he was right. He had committed his life to this standard. He's born again, spirit-filled, yes. But he's a practicing Jew. He made his decision. I'm going to live. Jesus said, I didn't come, what? To do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. And see, it's still in the church at Jerusalem. They were still having trouble getting out of Judaism. You got to remember, they were still processing it. And we know later, as Paul wrote in Corinthians, you don't care what you eat, right? God didn't care. Bottom line. But he's still in that mode. But notice what the word of the Lord said to him. Peter, don't call unclean what I call clean. This is what he's saying. Peter, what was in the past was right, but in the future it's not right. And the old saying goes, you cannot embrace your future till you let go of your past. It's got to be a God thing in you. But you got to let go of the past and embrace the future. You know, Word of Life has had a 20, how many years? 24th year. Been a great ride. Now, what's the next 24 years? Because there's a change. And the key thing is you've got to have the heart to embrace that change. So the first thing you've got to realize is the kingdom of God is going on around you that you don't know about. Two, is that it's going to take a supernatural illumination in your heart for God to show you you're part of it. Now go to verse 19. Verse 17, notice that. Now listen to this. Now Peter was still inwardly perplexed and doubted as to what the vision which he had seen could mean. When just then, behold, the messengers that were sent by Cornelius, who made inquiry at Simon's house, stopped and stood before the gate. So it says he was perplexed. It's okay to be perplexed. The things that God may be saying in the future may not be just where you just think, well, you know, you may have to think about it a while. Peter did. You ever been perplexed? Especially when you get those toys for your kids at Christmas and you got to put them together with those instructions. You think, what, dummy wrote these? Then you find out you ain't got two screws that you got to have to make the whole thing work. How many knows what I'm talking about? But you know that little kid of yours is going to get up in the morning and want that thing fully ready to go. So you'll do whatever it takes. You'll go to Walmart at 1 o'clock in the morning to find that stupid screw. Forrest Gump moment. But you'll do whatever it takes. That's the way sometimes the will of God is. It has to be discovered. You have to walk into it. I mean, there is great change going on in Lynn. I have traveled for 20-something years. I've done conferences all over the world. Will I still travel? Yes. But it's going to get very limited according to what our new assignment is. I got soul ties to the road. I got a lot of soul ties and relationships that God is using. There are a lot of churches I've been going into over 20 years back. God just has used me in that relationship, those relationships. And all of a sudden, the Lord's saying to me, he said, things are getting ready to change. Things are getting ready to change. I'm getting ready to start putting you in nations all over the world. Mexico's our love, our passion, a lot of it. But he said, I've got assignments for you in the earth. I'm getting ready to go to London, England. I'll be right in the heart of the Muslim area. A friend of mine raised up a church. God said, I want you to go do some things. I mean, I know my assignment's changing, but you know what? I got so... And man, it's so hard. Because I enjoy those relationships. I've laughed. We fish. We hunt. We do things. And all of a sudden, God's saying, they'll still be your friend, but he said, I'm changing them. So you may have soul ties to certain things. Maybe you're not real good at talking to somebody. But you know what? You know what gets you past that? It's when the kingdom gets inside of you and it starts illuminating inside of you and you get excited.
That's it.
The change may be perplexing. It may not be just real simple. Well, that's why we've always done it. Well, I agree. Remember what got Peter? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, don't call unclean what I call clean. In other words, what you did in the past was right. But what you do in the future will be different. It'll be wrong. Don't you think? Now notice verse 19. Third point is this. You have to obey. And while Peter was listening to this, here he is. He's still going on it. I would too. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in shock like that? Everything you've known all your life, God comes down a moment, gives you a vision, it's getting ready to change. Just make you just go nuts. You mean I got to start minute there? Don't get me looking at me so holy. You want your day's coming? Your day's coming. I'm gonna laugh. God's gonna speak to some of you in the night, and I'll let you sleep until you obey Him. There's a missionary in this group. Time to obey Jesus. Time to go to Bible school. Do whatever you got to do to get ready and go. God needs to send some of you to go serve with David or some other mission, whatever you know. I don't like you. I don't care. You got to love me. I don't know. Bottom line is if you hear it, you're responsible. And you done heard it, so you're responsible. You gotta leave mama? Sorry, darling, you gotta leave mama. Ooh. It'd be worth it. Don't look at me. He's like, something lame is going. I'm trying to mess with you right now because I want to really challenge your thinking. But notice this. And while Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it, the Holy Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Get up and go below and accompany them without any doubt, about its legality or its or any discrimination or hesitation, for I have sent them. Don't discriminate what I've said against to you. Number three, if we're going to make this change, we got to obey. You can't sing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, pain. You know that song, Hee Haw, when I was a kid, used to sing that? It can't be like that. You got to obey. Lives depend on it. Souls depend on it. If I had to call that woman out, she'd been in hell. I know that. That's why I'm scared of me in my core. Well, brother, God is sovereign. Yes, He's sovereign. He's talking to me. Go get her. Go get the ding-a-ling woman. She's messed up. That's why, I mean, it was that deep in me. He said, she's confused, and she's confused herself. Her own heart's deceived her. But He said, I care enough about her. I want her saved. There's probably been a lot of people before me to try to minister to her. And it finally just took an abrupt hitting her up beside the head spiritually to do it. It's a shame that it took that. But Jesus cared enough about her soul to see that she's in heaven. And I can tell you story after story of talking to hard people, walking up to them. One time the Lord spoke to me and He said, I woke up at 2:30 something in the morning. He said, there's a man that will be at a restaurant, this restaurant in this city. And He said, his family just burned to death in a trailer and he thinks I killed them. I want you to go see him, walk in, and get in front of him. This is how he's dressed and he will be sitting in this booth at the restaurant. I want you to go tell him I did not burn his or kill his children. And man, I got up, got my sweats on, walked into that restaurant, walked back to that place. I mean, just like somebody, you told me, call me on cell phone, said, Gary, it's this person, go back here, he's wearing this. I mean, just right where, right in the booth, dressed to the T, like you said. I probed in and I said, sir, good morning. And man, you can tell he's going through it. He's in torment. I didn't know the guy, you know. But guess what? I sat down there with him. And I said, your family just burned in a trailer, didn't he? Well, he knows it's got to be God. Something's going on. I said, God wants you to know He didn't kill your kids. Remember Matthew 24, it says Jesus appeared to the two that were on, the disciples on the way to Emmaus. And He says He described them beginning from Moses, water forward, about the Messiah. They didn't know who He was. Well, I began to take Him through Scripture and lay out a course to why God didn't kill His kids. We prayed together, and I just heard the Lord say, it's time to go. Get up and go. And that's the way this thing's operated year after year in my life. Most things I've probably forgotten. Now listen to me. You are an answer for somebody's life. But you got to change the way you think, the way you handle your time. I talked about some things, I mean, that'll just have to be explained later. I don't have time today, but I'm telling you right now, you got to change your life. And you got to become available to God, and you're going to have to get out of your routine. That doesn't mean you can't do things. Don't go the other direction. But to be available for the kingdom, you realize and you say, my life's not my own. So the other night, la vida que tengo no me pertenece. That means the life that I have doesn't belong to me. Doesn't belong to myself. So I want to know what you're going to do with it. Because we have arrived at a change. A new season is ending, an old season is ending, and a new season is beginning. And it won't be the same. Old model out, new model in. How many agree with me? Let me ask you a question. Just a show of hands. Is there anybody in here that has had a witness in your heart that things are getting ready to change, maybe relative to ministry or what's going on? There's several hands, yeah. I know, because see, people start pursuing. You can't put a finger on it, but you know what I mean. It's like pin the tail on spiritually on the donkey. You know you're just going the right direction. Something's going down, baby. See, the next move of God is about harvest. Getting people saved, getting people born again. Is there somebody here that's got a bump? You got a foot, your foot And I saw it's either, I think it's the right foot, maybe the left, but it's right in I got a doctor here, right in the ankle part, but it's in this part right here. And it hurts real bad. So anybody here has got a pain? Maybe your left foot, but it's in your foot. Come up here. And I mean, it's painful. You're having trouble walking. Oh, okay. Which foot is it? Okay, that's an ankle. Did you strain it or sprain it? Okay, let's do it. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, it was a left foot, wasn't it? Yeah. Father, right now. Let me teach you something here. If I spend extra time in prayer, and that discernment comes real easy, left or right. Listen to me. If I've been busy, sometimes I fish. I get the general direction. I want to teach you this. If God's dealing with you about something, dealing with somebody, and you're not real sure, take a little extra time with Him. Yesterday, the Spirit of God did a lot, but listen to me. This will teach you something spiritually. I focused in a certain thing, and the Lord said to me yesterday, He said, I need you to pray in tongues a little bit longer. But I got to studying on my laptop and I didn't do it. A lot of times, the reason He tells me that, He witnesses that to me, because I need to press in a little bit more and be ready for a little more clarity. So God will do the same with you. This is not just me, this is for everybody. So if God's dealing with you about something and you don't quite have it, maybe God's saying, I need you to talk to your neighbor about this or your family or whatever, and you're not quite sure, just back off a little bit and say, Lord, and just commit yourself a little, maybe get up a little early in the morning or maybe get a little time aside or go walk in the park or whatever, but set some time aside and say, Lord, talk to me about this. Help me here. But do you understand what I'm saying? Father, right now, I command in the name of Jesus those ligaments to go back in place in this one. Yeah, Karabu, in that ankle. Healing now. Healing. Ligaments be restored, be put back in place now. 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 Put your do weight on it or do something you couldn't do where it hurt. Try it. Move it up and down. Move it up and down right now. 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 Hallelujah. Yes. Lord, just start shouting. Walk around. Run around. Do what you want to do. And I want to tell you something. That's what you're going to do right there. It's called word of knowledge. You understand all that? Okay. Brother Hagin is the best I've seen on teaching on like the gifts of the Spirit and just and listen to tapes because he's got more experiences. He'll just tell you. Hallelujah. Just work it out. Work it out. Yes. Now, that's very common here because you guys know what's going on. But I'm telling you, God will do the same with every one of you. The gifts of the Spirit are for all. Or the manifestations, whatever you call them here. And if you don't know what they are, go talk to Pastor. She can fill you in well. Woo! But that's what's going to start being released out of you in the stores and Walmart. You know how many people I've witnessed to and touched God's touch in Walmart? My greatest revelations have come in Walmart. I don't know what. Usually I'm with Lee, and I'm just kind of numb-minded. I'm just following her. Maybe that's why God does it. I'm telling you, God will. Father, I pray. Lift your hands. Let's take it. Let's just take it. God, I thank you for that impartation. Yay, Father, I thank you for every person here. I just thank you for that impartation in their lives right now, God. Right now, in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name. Father, allow this thing to go off in them. Allow it, Father. Show them, reveal to them who they are and what they are, Lord. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. You know, I've had you in my heart since last night. And this question came to me when I saw you standing, sitting over to the left. And it kept saying, this question kept coming to me, who am I? Who am I? And you're on a deep, you ponder this a lot. Who am I? Some people would even call it, the world calls it a midlife crisis. Because you're trying to find out who you are. And even during this time, if you read about this scenario, People, men will go back and they reflect a lot on their past and they regret. It's really more regret than it are success. You can have 1,000 successes and one regret, and that regret will spin in your head forever. And that's what's going on with you. And God knows that because you've talked to Him about it. And all I heard was this: embrace your future and let go of the past. If you embrace your future, the past will go away. The questions will stop and purpose will come. Come here. Is this your wife? Can you come here? Father, I pray for my brother. And you're going to have to lose your fear of men. You've got to lose your fear of men. And you know what made me lose my... I didn't have a fear of men or what they thought. I was the other side. I didn't care what they thought. And Lee would say to me, "Baby, it's not what you say, it's how you say it." Lee... That's my wife. Lee coached... Now listen to me. You know, Tiger Woods has a coach, right? They don't... I mean, he's the best of the best right now. Mm-hmm. Love to watch him. But realistically, he still has a coach. And that coach still presses him to be better. Well, you need a coach. The Holy Spirit and her. Lee taught me how to get rid of my fear. She coached me out of my fear. And God put a middle walk, a balance in my life to say, I do care what you think because I care about you. And therefore, I don't want to offend you. And God put that sensitivity in me. And it didn't come because I just shunda, shunda, shunda. That came because Lee coached me. And she said, "Honey, can I help you? You know how that person responded to you tonight? Remember, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You said the right thing, but the how you said it was wrong. And you shut them down, and you had no interest. And then you tried forcing it." And I can tell you, scenario after scenario, I mean, for years she coached me. And she would say to me, "I'm to help you become what God wants you to become." You understand me? And I mean, I'm talking about 21 years on August 3rd. We were married 21 years. And I'm telling you, it's been that way, and it's still that way. And even in the small thing, the other day, we're Luby's. The guy that's waiting on us, he's a little soft. You know what I'm saying? A little artsy. Don't look at me so holy. He bugged me. And when you're a waiter, when you go to a table, if you want a good tip from me, you wait to be acknowledged. You stand there and say, "Can I pour you some more tea?" But don't come interrupt me when I'm talking to my wife, especially. And all that bugged me. Instant. Bam! And Lee knew it. She said, "I know you." She knows me before I even think something, she knows. I'm sitting there, and she goes, Lee goes, "Thank you very much for your service to us." And when he left, Lee looked at me and she said, "I want to tell you something right now." She said, "When somebody does something for us, yay or nay, you need to acknowledge them." I looked at her and I said, "I refuse to acknowledge him. He's a dip." I did. And she went, "Hard head, I want to tell you something right now. You know I'm right. Now you can do with this what you want to. But you know I'm right. So the next time he comes to this table, you don't have to say a word. I just want you to look up and acknowledge him, at least do that." So he comes back. And Lee goes. I didn't smile, I just looked at him. All I did. I wasn't giving an inch. And when he left, I don't have to tell y'all this, but I'm telling you. When he left, she says to me, she said, "You, I want to tell you something. The reason I view you that way is because I don't want a seed planted to take you back to where God delivered you from. And she said, that's why I ride you so hard. Because she said, I know your future and I know where you're going. You're too dumb to see it sometimes. Because you're in the fray. You're right in the middle of it. And that's why she does. And she said, she looked me right in the face and she said, I love you. But I will always be this way with you. Proverbs says correction is a way of life. And if you want to get beat up real good, just listen to Joyce Meyer. She'll just beat the tar out of you. And you'll like it. I love to listen to her because you just want, I mean, she's palatable. She beats the dog out of you all the time. But God has something for you to do, and you are struggling. I'm going to pray for you, and that struggle is going to lift off you. But you must embrace your future. And you need to listen to her. Because she can help you become what you need to become. That's why she's there. Those are four? Three? My Lord. I tell they're all grinning. One of them ain't, but that's all right. Father, I pray. Father, for this life, this couple, this family. Ooh, there it goes, man. There it goes. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Yes. I'll take him. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. You have the responsibility, don't forget, to lead your children and this family. Not just direct them, but to lead them. To push them toward their future. Not by trust and by the right to be heard. The right to be heard. Oh, yeah, but you're to direct their footsteps. Direct in prayer. Pray and intercede. Not just to get the general direction. Not send them just that general direction, but to lead. And Father, right, oh, there's a gift of the Spirit. I keep hearing you, ma'am. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Tongues and interpretation. I believe it's prophecy anyway. Oh, thank you, Father. Father, free to make the next step. Free to make the next step, God. Free to make the next step, Jesus. Free to make the next step. He's free to make the next step, Jesus. And we thank you. If you're here today and you're not born again or you don't know God, you think you may know God, but you've not committed your life to God and God has dealt with you about that commitment. If that would be you, it's time to get saved. It's time to commit your life to God. If that would be you, just raise your hand right where you are and I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you say, God, Gary, I've been in church, I've come here, I've gone to other places, but it's time that I give my life to God. If that be you, just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If you're here today, very quickly, if you're here today. If I'm not seeing a hand, help me. I don't believe. There's somebody here today. In fact, there's two people here today that need to get born again. There's two people here that need to get born again. That's up to you. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. That be you. If you're here today and your life's not right with God, you're backslidden. God's dealt with you. That may be why you're here today, because you know God's been talking to you. Just you coming said a lot to Him. Just you coming today and listening said a lot. Even if you listen to me, that said a lot. If you're here today and you say, Brother Gary, I got to get my life right with God. I've walked with God, but my life's not right. That be with you. Just if that's you, come up here right now. If you're there, just stand up right where you are. Come up right now. Come to get your life right with God. There's people here. Give you just a moment. God's talking to you. Come on up here, young man. Somebody else? Come on up here, young man. I'll say, Benga. Anybody else? How you doing?
All right.
What's your name?
Timothy.
Timothy?
Yeah.
And your name? Abe. Good to meet you guys. Now, you guys been saved before? One time?
Yeah,
okay. Okay. And now, are you up here to just kind of get your lives right with God?
Yeah.
Kind of been doing some things you ain't supposed to do?
Yeah.
Well, let's do that, okay? You know, let me read something to you in the Bible. And I do this. I have to do it. You know, the day I had that attitude with that waiter, you remember I told you about? Well, after I got in my prayer time, the Holy Spirit convicted me about what I did. And I had to repent of that. Listen to this. Let me read this. Scripture, 1 John 1:9. I depend on this all the time. It says here, If we freely admit that we have sinned, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to those that are saved but have missed it. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises. Can I have a worker, whoever you would put up, somebody? Okay, come on up here, man. ¿Puede venir también, hermano? ¿Hay otros? Is there a man, a couple of men up here? Thank you, Joe. I like to invite, because I'm going to be leaving, and you need to know some guys that you can talk to. Tú puedes hablar en ecuanés en español también, si quiere. But notice this. Help me. If we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises. Now notice that. And will forgive our sins and dismiss our lawlessness and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything not in conformity to his will, purpose, thought, and action. That's good to know. He don't give up on us. Woo! It's good, isn't it? You look like you're all right. So you've been tempted to do some things you haven't done yet. But it's pushing you. And I'm going to tell you, if you do them, it'll scar your life. You'll live with pain all your days. Like you've had a fear and there's been a warning in your heart that just backs you up from it. But the enemy, the flesh, keeps pushing you toward that. I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. It'll cost you. It'll cost you severely. Because the Bible says in Galatians, God is not mocked. You know what it means to be mocked? For whatever a man sows, that he will also he shall reap. If you plant the seed, it's going to come up. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right. Good. Father, I pray. Pray this prayer. We're going to talk to God. Just say, Jesus, both of you, forgive me. I'm wrong. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross. And you've risen from the dead for my sins. You are my Lord. I believe in you. Come into my life in a new and special way. Show me your love. Show me your direction, and I will follow you. Amen. Some of these guys would like to talk to you. Whoever, been where they can talk. Hey, listen to me. You can't grow without the church. Be faithful. Keep coming. Please. You're worth it. And if you these guys can talk to you. Tim, these guys can talk to you. Gilbert can talk to you. They can talk to you. Okay? You know this guy? Oh, Lord, I do, isn't it? Yeah, watch this guy. You know, he's all right, though. He's okay. You agree with that? You need to listen to him. Don't be independent. Don't be hard-headed. Don't be rebellious, okay? Don't spur your heart. Don't spur your life. Okay? Anybody ever give me a death row? All boys need death row. Make it go out of it. My grandpa used to have a burn. He used to burn my head, and I'd just squeal. He said, take it. You know what he was saying? I love you. Allow somebody to love you. I allowed him to love me. He put it in my life right now. God is good. You got a future, Timothy. You got a future. You have a future if you'll let God do it. Okay? Father, I call him free. Every life, free. Anything hindering, we're walking in, I call him free right now by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Follow this young lady, these gentlemen, they'll talk with you. You can go with them, whatever. Amen? Now, come back tonight. I'm through as far as I know. Hey, where's your ankle at? That ankle. The pain go? Hey, you, sir, whatever. Put your hand on it. Just put it right there. Pain? Stop. Hey, go pay for it. You didn't come home to R&R. My Lord. Command that pain to go. Start talking that pain right now. Start working that foot. It's all gone. Hey, listen, I don't know who you are, but you got to get addicted to the presence of God. That song you're playing, can you sing that? Can we sing that together? There's no one like you. Everybody stand up with me real quick. Let's sing that song as we leave and ask for Lenore to come and do what she needs to do. Everybody just begin to worship the Lord. And let Him bring closure to the words that we said today. Let Him bring closure to that.